We financed in November with Michael Gentile and a very close network of investors between Michael Gentile and management directors. We financed this, and all of that paper that we financed it in November, that's all locked up for a full year. So it doesn't come free trading until November of this year. And we did our first drill program that we just finished up in late May. And we just put out the first drill results. We drilled 11 holes, almost 2,500 meters in total. And we released the first four holes on June 10th. And Diego had some spectacular results. He delivered about as well as I think anyone could have expected him to, given the limited budget and drill meters.
Okay. Brian Miller, Astra Exploration. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Andy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming on. And just to all my viewers and listeners, Brian with Astra Exploration has not paid for this interview. And I am not an investor yet, but they are on my short list of companies that I am considering that could very well change after this video has been dropped. Brian, let's get a 30,000-foot view of the company, what you guys are trying to accomplish, where you guys are drilling, and where you're out of.
Astra is a relatively new company. I was a co-founder, myself and a few others co-founded in 2020. Our focus is epithermal gold, silver in South America. First two projects we picked up were in northern Chile, and we just picked up one last year in southern Argentina. We've built a team around this type of exploration in these jurisdictions, a very solid team with very, very distinguished careers, several discoveries, several successful exits. I can't really overstate the significance of the people who are behind this and who I have surrounding me, but it's not just at the board and management level. We've also got some pretty impressive shareholders on our roster, including Michael Gentile, who's the major shareholder of the company. So the focus over the last 5 years has been to identify high quality assets that we believe have world-class potential and explore and develop those into assets that we can then either sell the assets or the company.
Okay, so talking to my viewers and listeners here, I first met Brian. I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, this was last March. I met him with Michael Gentile. They were in Atlanta. They sponsored a dinner, if you would, of accredited investors in the Atlanta area. I was very interested at the time in investing, and I didn't pick up. That was at a much lower stock price, so I'm regretful that I didn't buy at the time. But that being said, what was very interesting to me was the project that you picked up in Argentina. Tell me about all of your projects, but specifically that project in Argentina.
Sure. Yeah. Sorry, I tried. But yeah, I tried to get you to buy back then. No,
You did.
to be fair, we really haven't done any marketing. We've been very, very quiet for the better part of a year and a half. And to your questions, it's worth talking about a little bit of the background. So the three projects in the portfolio, two in northern Chile and the one we just picked up in Argentina, the flagship asset that we're working on in northern Chile, Pampa Paciencia, it's a big low sulfidation epithermal system, so gold, silver. It does have a copper target on it. It's right beside Spence and Sierra Gorda copper mines in the Atacama region. We had done two drill programs there in 2022. We got some decent results, but didn't get a lot of favor in the market for it at the time. And then we had to go through a lengthy permitting process that took 15 months for our next drill permit. So we lost momentum. The markets continued to deteriorate. So we were faced with a decision at that time. Do we try to raise $4 or $5 million for the next phase of exploration there as a $6 million company and blow up our capital structure, which quite honestly was one of the most valuable things that we had? Or do we tuck our horns in and we go hunting? And so that's what we did. We opted to do. We spent the better part of, well, several months, even prior to that, looking at other projects. But I gave Diego the mandate. I said that, we were
Who's
looking.
Diego? Who's Diego?
Sorry, yeah, Diego, good question. Diego's our lead geologist. He's director of exploration based in Buenos Aires.
Got it. Go ahead.
So, and Diego's got Diego and Darcy, who's one of my founding directors, they both very well respected geologists, extensive experience in Chile and Argentina, as well as Latin America in general. But I gave Diego the mandate. I said, we're going to go look for another project. And I said, give me high grade, multi-million ounce potential and anchored by an existing resource. And he laughed at me. He laughed and he says, oh, you want a unicorn? I
Yeah,
said,
you and everybody else, right?
I do. I said, go find it. You know all the projects in South America. He said, well, can I look in Argentina? I said, depending on the province. He says, Santa Cruz. I said, sure, go for it. And in the same breath, he says, I know what project we need. It's called La Manchuria. It's been held by a company called Patagonia Gold. I was on it 20 years ago. I think it's one of the most exceptional exploration projects I've seen in the Deseado Massif. And Diego knows the Deseado Massif as well as anybody, and perhaps better than most. So when he said that, of course I sit up and take notice. I says, well, does it meet all that criteria? And he says, yeah. So it took 13 months, but we got a deal signed on it, and we've got an option to earn up to 90% interest in that. And so for that 13 months that we were working on that, we honestly believed that if we could get that across the finish line, that we were going to be sitting in a very good position. And so during that time, we raised just enough money to keep the lights on and the claim fees paid. And the entire team went a full year working without pay. We worked for free for a full year. It wasn't deferred pay. It was, we let it go because we own enough stock. We've got enough invested in this. We know the value of a tight share structure. So we did get that done. Fast forward 13 months later, we signed that deal in July of last year. We made the formal announcement that we were proceeding with it in October. We financed in November with Michael Gentile and a very close network of investors between Michael Gentile and management directors. We financed this, and all of that paper that we financed it in November, that's all locked up for a full year. So it doesn't come free trading until November of this year. And we did our first drill program that we just finished up in late May. And we just put out the first drill results. We drilled 11 holes, almost 2,500 meters in total. And we released the first four holes on June 10th. And Diego had some spectacular results. He delivered about as well as I think anyone could have expected him to, given the limited budget and drill meters.
Okay, I want to talk about that. I want you to pin that thought here because that's one of, but not the most important. Well, it is the most important topic of this discussion. But first, I want to highlight a few things that you said. It seems like you're very careful of share structure. That's music to my ears as a potential investor, and it should be music to the ears of all my viewers and listeners. It raises the question then, how many shares are, what's your market cap? It's fine. I am more than fine with a small market cap. In fact, I prefer a small market cap in the beginning. But tell me what your market cap is. Tell me how many shares you have outstanding, fully diluted, how much money you have in the bank, and where are the options and warrants written at what strike?
Yeah. And on that note of share structure too, it's 100%. I think it's one of the most important things. And unfortunately, it's something that a lot of people, I think, get wrong, but it's very difficult to maintain. And to be perfectly honest, it is the most difficult work that I have done in the last 5 years with the company, but it's been by design. It's been very deliberate. We've got a list of 24 people. So consider it eight management and directors, and Michael Gentile and people in his network. 24 individuals own 80% of this company. And these are all people that are first degree relationships.
So the float is 20%.
Float is 20% roughly.
Wow.
Very closely.
That's really cool.
So it's very close. And my philosophy on share structure is that the tight share structure closely held serves all investors, all shareholders best, especially when either market conditions are poor or corporate activity is low, but such that retail interest just is not there. And then you can always expand that public float, but you can never bring it back. There's only one time to do that. And we started this company from ground zero. So I had a disciplined approach as to when I was going to feel comfortable with increasing that public float. And we're getting there on both of those factors. But total outstanding right now, we're about 101 million shares, fully diluted, we're 115. There's still some warrants from that November financing that we did. Those expire in November 2025. There's 4.8 million of those that are currently outstanding yet, but those are held by very close, that close network that I mentioned. We had, I think, close to 1.2 million of those exercise early. And then we have, I think, 1.5 million warrants that expire in April of next year at 18 cents. So other than that, no other warrants outstanding. We do have, the standard options, and I think there's close to, if I had to guess, I think there's about 8 million options outstanding. So it's very tight. The last financing that we did a $1 million top-up financing here a couple months ago. It was a life offering, and that was at 20 cents with no warrant. So yeah, very clean capital structure, very tight.
Okay, and to all my viewers and listeners, the thing is what I personally like to look for, especially in an early stages, is about this. I want a really tight share structure. And the reason is when you get to, everybody's going to dilute, they have to raise money in order to put in a drill program. So that shouldn't scare you. What does scare me and concerns me, and I'm not speaking about Astra Exploration here, is when there are too many shares, let's say 300 million, especially in a startup. I say that with all due respect, Brian. It's really hard to move the stock, to get the stock to move with so many shares outstanding. And then you are continually getting fully diluted. Another thing that I wanted to say to you, which makes me like you even more, is you guys didn't take a paycheck. And I mean that with all due respect. It means to me we're not financing a lifestyle company here. So what I'm most interested now in, since you've answered those questions, is what is going to move this stock forward? And you brought up, you had some great results that came out. Share what you can with me, because that could be the catalyst that moves the stock forward and makes this a much bigger asset than what we think there is.
Yeah, the drill program we just completed, that is the catalyst, and of course that was responsible for the big move here in June. Like I said, we drilled 11 holes, 2,500 meters approximately. We did release the first four holes, the assays from the first four holes, and we had one hole in there. Hole 108 had some spectacular gold and silver grades, and those were within about 100 meters of surface. So I think that the headliner numbers were at 4.4 meters of 11.8 grams gold and
Wow.
20, over 27, almost 2,800 grams of silver.
Wow.
So absolutely amazing. And of course that catches the spotlight for obvious reasons. But one thing that I'm really encouraged by, I find really interesting, is you look at the step outs that Diego made with this. And typically with these epithermal systems, when you're drilling, when you're defining these high grade shoots, you're doing step outs at 25 meters. And this is a narrow vein system, very high grade, but narrow vein. So it's kind of got that needle in the haystack element to it. And you start doing big step outs, and you really better have your model tight to be hitting consistent. And Diego, to his credit, you balance that taking risk, but also trying to be conservative and trying to get good results. This had been drilled previously. There's an existing resource of 146,000 gold equivalent ounces was done several years ago at 13.
Say that again.
146,000 gold equivalent ounces. It was done in 2019. I think gold price at $1,300 and silver at 18. So obviously that's changed, but it was drilled out as a bulk tonnage resource, a very shallow resource, all within about 200 meters of surface. And the step outs that Diego did with the program here, he legitimately stepped out a minimum of 50 meters and a maximum of 100 as far as testing structure. So there was no twin hole drilling or infill drilling where we knew there was going to be grades. This was all legitimate expansionary drilling.
Okay. Let me interrupt you if you would. Can you define, I know what it is, but I want to, for all of our viewers and listeners, a step out drilling, define that for us.
Sure. No, that's a great point. So keep me on track. Keep it understandable. So when you're drilling veins, oftentimes there's veins that are parallel to each other, and these things happen in parallel systems. So you'll drill one vein, but is there another vein beside it? So you could step out to test for parallel structures, and then you also step out along strike. So you're chasing the length of the vein, and you do small step outs because the vein shapes and the orientations can change. And if you step out too far, you can miss them.
Right.
So those are two ways to step out. And then the other one is step out, in the vertical, so down at depth. And so all of Diego's step outs, whether that was vertical step out, whether that was parallel step out or along strike, they were all outside of the existing drilling that was on it. So it was all aimed at making the system or showing that the system was bigger and it had size.
Well, that's the second best news you've told me in our talk in 20 minutes here. Very interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, it really is impressive. 11 holes, and he hit veins, veinlets, or fault structures, which have all been the main mineralized structures. He hit structures in every single hole. So we knew even before we got assays back from observations in the field that his model it seemed to be working quite impressively. And that is another, take a step back. Diego did recreate the model pretty much from scratch. He relogged several thousand meters of core. So it was, in a lot of people's view, it was quite conceptual because it had never been tested. And Diego had never had any direct experience with drilling or working on this project. So we were quite pleased to see that in the field. We knew we were going to have some places that ran good grade because you could actually see the mineralization. And then, of course, the first batch of assays really confirmed that.
Yeah. Okay, so it looks like you, and I say this with, we don't know until all of the results are coming out. It looks like you're onto something potentially very large here. So the next question I would have is, and I don't know really what the business plan is. So I say this just from an investor point of view is like, okay, if these guys are onto something big, they're going to get taken out. So who is around you for potential suitors, if you would? How easily is it to get a mining permit in Argentina? And what's the infrastructure like around you? Do you have power? Do you have roads and that sort of thing?
Yeah. The question of who is a suitable, who is the suitors in a takeout scenario? It's way early to speculate, but I mean, obviously if you get into something that's got, the grades that we're talking about here, and these aren't the only time the grades like this have been hit, but the grades are generally spectacular. So high grade like this is pretty rare. If you start putting together size, like I said, the multi-million ounce target that we're pursuing here, then it's less of a question of who is actually around there, because that starts to attract people regardless of where their operations are.
Got it. Good answer.
And now that's obviously the dream scenario, but that's some of the potential we see here, because the area that's been drilled so far is actually a very, very small area in the center of this claim group. And there's a lot of regional exploration potential that's never really been addressed. So there's going to be a lot to chew on just locally here where we drilled these results, but then also regionally going forward. Now, one of the things I like about this is that there's a lot of embedded optionality in it. There's pre-existing facilities within three pre-existing facilities within 50 kilometers, two of which are past producing, one of which is currently producing oxide material. So you've got the potential for toll milling operations. You've got a small scale project that's got really good organic growth potential. So if I'm a junior or a mid-tier producer, these kind of targets, these would be appealing to me as an acquisition.
Yeah.
Now, infrastructure, it's got road access. There's a provincially maintained gravel road that goes right to the property. There's water nearby. There's power nearby. There's a regional airport. It's about a 4-hour drive from the project. It's far enough out that you don't have urban interface issues, but it's not so far out as to be logistically problematic.
Right. So you don't need to build any more roads, or you don't need to put in power lines or whatever, truck in power, whether that's diesel or whatever, correct? It's all accessible right there.
Yeah. Nothing of significance. That's correct.
How much money do you have?
The treasury right now is about $2.6 million. By the time we get all the bills paid for the drill program, we'll have closer to $2 million. And then we've got, like I said, about $750,000 worth of warrants that'll come in too. So without the warrants, so we've got enough to fund another drill program of about equal size. We'll look to recommence that in probably 2 to 3 months is what we're looking at. Given what we just got from the last drill program, I think that we can expect that we'll have, I would think that we should be able to produce some similar results with another program of the same size. But we've also had a lot of people who have had eyes on this for several months now, since we started putting it out and showing it to people. And there's a lot of people who have been following the story closely. They've liked it conceptually, and now with the drill results that we're getting, they're really sitting up and paying attention to it. So
that would be me.
What's that?
That would be me.
Yeah. So we are looking at provisions as well as being able to scale this drilling up quite rapidly, because I think that this is going to be one of those projects that's the approach you take. And this is a momentum game, right? So the idea there is to really start getting aggressive with the drilling going forward and really put some runway in front of this thing.
Got it. I remember my question, but I also want to make a comment. It seems to me like drilling in Argentina, correct me if I'm wrong, is cheap.
It's cheap is a relative term. It's more expensive than we'd all like it to be. But yeah, we budgeted between 300 and 350 US per meter all in for this this program. And of course, we hadn't drilled in Argentina yet, so it was just a budget. But I think we're going to come in that ballpark, 330 to 340, somewhere there. So yeah, relatively, there's several places where they're paying a lot more. Even in Nevada, it's costing a lot more. But anywhere remote, it can be very expensive. So yeah, relatively cheap.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask you, and I asked you this question in Atlanta, and the answer you gave me, I think, was right at the time, but I wasn't happy with it. How do you get to multi-million ounce, whether that's gold or silver? And I'm looking at gold, I'd like to see 4 to 5 million ounces in the ground. And silver, I'd like to see north of 50 million. How do you get there?
Boy, me too. I'd love to see that. A lot of drilling.
It's the same answer you gave me.
especially at these grades. No, a lot of drilling is ultimately what it comes down to.
You see a path to there is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, and I think I'll actually go back to kind of Diego's thesis with this as far as his approach to the exploration in this versus what's been done historically. So it was drilled out as a bulk tonnage resource, and it was just a different business plan is what that amounted to. And in Diego's mind, the approach here is figure out what's driving these super high grade feeder zones and target those first, drill those out. And he's in full agreement that, you know, the likely scenario is this starts out as a bulk tonnage open pit and then transitions into into an underground mine. But the approach, the exploration approach, if you can consistently or at least regularly and predictably hit these high grade feeder zones, that adds the most value the fastest. And that reduces dilution as maximum as possible. And that's, like you mentioned earlier, that is the number one risk in this game. That's the most certain risk, is dilution. So everything has to be considered in the context of what does it do to reduce or eliminate dilution.
That's actually a great answer. So, yes.
So, yeah, and it is going to take a lot of drilling. But this is actually something I was asked a question the other day in a webinar, and it's, you know, people say, well, how do you get there? How big do these structures need to be? How many of them do you got to find? And at the end of the day, the answer is, I don't know. It's too early. And I wouldn't look you in the eye and be able to say anything that I would feel comfortable with, because we just don't know. But Darcy had told me a while back, because Darcy, one of my directors, he's also built mines, right? So he knows what it takes. And he told me, he says, Brian, a structure that's 2 meters wide and is 200 meters in vertical and is 1,000 meters long, that's roughly 1 million tons of ore. So if you've got 32 grams on average grade, that's 1 million ounces in that one vein. And so you have to figure out the volume, you know, you have to consider the volume that the veins carry as well as the grade. And so I got thinking about this in the context of that headliner hole that we drilled. And I said, well, okay, you can add some context to that. Say, okay, that's the volume I just gave you. But if you have the width that we had here, which is 1.4 meters, if you have that width and you have 200 meters of vertical extension, those grades that we drilled, then you only need 375 meters of strike for a 1 million ounce gold equivalent. Now, mind you, in that hole that we drilled, that was 70% silver on a gross metal basis. But on a gold equivalent basis, 375 meters of strike with that width and those grades with 200 meters in the vertical would be a 1 million ounce gold equivalent. So you look at the size of that and drop that into the map and see how big that isn't, and how many parallel vein structures there are there, and how many Diego just identified that were new parallel vein structures with this drill program. And then people start kind of going, okay, so there could be some big size potential just here.
That is a fantastic explanation. I tracked you all the way. Okay. So you also made another comment about when we talked about infrastructure, that there is a mill in the area. And I guess I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly, because a mill is going to cost $30, $40 million to put in, at least to put in a mill. But you have options. You use that word as well, potential options, or whoever owns the property. And we're going to assume it's you for this conversation. You don't need to build a mill. Is that what you just said? You have options.
Well, yes, like you, exactly what you said, there's potentially options, and it's still early to consider that. But you know, like I said, we've got one example, Capa Oeste, that's owned by our partner, Patagonia Gold, and it's about 50 kilometers to the northwest. They're producing oxide ore up there. So they've got an oxide production facility right up the road. Just down the road, the other direction to the southeast, you have Martha Mine, which is also owned by Patagonia Gold. It's been on care and maintenance for several years. It would need some investment to get back into operating condition, but very doable. And then just down the road a little further yet, you have Manantial El Espejo, owned by Pan American Silver, which just went on care and maintenance, I think about 2 years ago. So it's still in quite good condition. So again, not that there's anything rolling there or anything, or even the conversation, but you've got mills that are quiet or going to be quiet that need ore. And that's just a lot.
Potential options. Potential options. Music to my ears. Okay. Fantastic. Tell me really briefly just about doing business in Argentina. And I know you have these other assets in Chile, but talk to me about doing business in Argentina with President Milei coming in. It's been about, I want to say, 18 months. How has he been for mining? And how has he been for you guys?
Well, as most people know, Argentina has historically been a pendulum. A back and forth pendulum for decades, if even not generations now. And I could say that the only thing that we do know is that Milei's changes have been very positive for business in general, but particularly for mining. And his administration has made the most drastic and positive changes in Argentina politically and for businesses that we have seen in the generation, without a doubt. Now, there's always the question of, is it going to endure? You know, it is the pendulum. But I do think that Milei's got a good shot at another term after his first one. He's got some pretty good support. He's brought inflation down, I think, faster than most people would ever imagine possible. And he knows that with the austerity that he's implemented, he's really got to juice the economy. And I think he's relying quite heavily upon mining to do that. And some of the incentives that the administration have rolled out speak directly to that. They've got an incentive program. It's called RIGI. The acronym is RIGI. And it's got some huge implications. In fact, I think Abra Silver is another operator that's developing down there. And they put out a PEA, I think it was last year in about March. And then the government rolled RIGI out shortly after that. And so Abra ended up redoing their PEA, and it made hundreds of millions of dollars of difference in their net present value for the project.
It doubled it, if I'm not mistaken. I remember I spoke to Miniotis. This was in December. It really doubled it. So
yeah, I couldn't remember exactly what the numbers were, but when I read it, I remember watching the interview and I remember it raising my eyebrows.
Yeah, my jaw was on the floor. You saw that interview, huh?
I did.
Yeah.
And I talked to Miniotis at the Metal Investor Forum in March in Toronto.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Brian, anything you want to say to wrap this up? Well, tell us about your company. Give us the website address, the stock symbols, and then just give us some closing thoughts why investors should put you on the list and consider investing in Astra Exploration.
Yeah, it's been 5 years in the making. It's, it's kind of like bankruptcy, just on the other end of the spectrum, slowly then suddenly, you know, years in the making of an overnight success. And it's one victory. We got a long ways to go. But right now, I do believe that this is a watershed moment for the company. So we've got a lot of people who've been watching the story closely. They know the people, they know the team, they know the story. And I think that they really want to get behind it and lean into it. So we're quite pleased with the position that we're in. And we haven't done any marketing really, so to speak. So we're just getting the word out there, stuff like this. It's still a very early story. Most people that I talk to have never heard of the company yet.
Excellent. What's your website and what are your stock symbols and are you traded on the OTC?
Yeah. Astra-exploration.com is the website. We are traded on the Venture Exchange in Canada, OTCQB in the US, and Frankfurt Exchange in Europe. And those symbols are on the Venture Exchange, ASTR.V, OTCQB is ATEPF, and Frankfurt listing is S3I.
Well done. Again, I would like to close with, again, Astra has not paid for this. Brian have not paid for this. I've met Brian once in person at a dinner meeting here in Atlanta. They were on my short list. I did not buy them at the dropping of this video. I do not own them, but that will more than likely be changing over the next several days. Brian, I want to thank you so much for your time. And it's a story that I'm paying very close attention to, and I'm looking forward to the next results.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It's been good to catch back up again.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you.